The 51st season for the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra begins on Tuesday, October the 17th at 7:30 p.m. at the Community Arts Centre in Williamsport with the music of Beethoven, Rachmaninoff and Liszt. Gerardo Edelstein, music director of the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra, was in the WVIA Williamsport studio recently to talk about this new 51st season, and I mentioned to him that it must have been difficult to find a way to top the incredible 50th season for the WSO.
First of all, I was a little worried because they said, well, how can we top the 50th anniversary season? It was a fantastic, fabulous season with incredible music making and with the collaborations with so many good, thriving institutions and organizations. And, you know, even the commission we had for this new piece was a big success. So how do we top all of that? You may not know this, but I'm not the only one involved in the preparation of the programs. There is like what we call an artistic advisory committee. And in that committee, people from the community, musicians, board members, participate and give their input. And I think that this is fabulous because it gives me just a whole perspective from all different constituencies, what they would like to hear. What are they expecting from the symphony? You know, I got so many good ideas that, of course, we only have 5 concerts, I have to say. I wish we could have some more to perform that many pieces that were suggested. Because there's so much music out there, so much beautiful, you know, music. So then the hard task of start designing the season, let's pick the big pieces in the program. So that's why we have Beethoven Symphony No. 5. We will have Dvorak Symphony No. 9, Symphony of the New World. We have the Mussorgsky's pictures at an exhibition. They're all blockbusters, masterpieces that attract people immediately by the name. And they have not been performed by the symphony for a while. So who does not know Beethoven's 5? You know, even if they don't know the name, you sing da-da-da-da, and then they say, oh yeah, I know those 4 notes. Where are they coming from? They say, well, that's Beethoven's number 5. Or the Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto No. 2. You know, Fiona, this is a story that I always tell because it's incredible how sometimes bad experiences could change radically to become the most positive and the most enlightening. This is what happened to Rachmaninoff. He was a fabulous pianist, one of the greatest of all time. Of course, wanted to compose, you know, went to school and had his degree in composition. He came up with this beautiful Symphony No. 1 that was so criticized by the critics, the papers, including his friends. He said, I don't think, you know, you better keep playing the piano. Don't write any more symphonies. Sadly, because I think it's a masterpiece as well. But, you know, at that time, what happened is that we call Rachmaninoff the late romantic. He was already into the 1900s and composing music that sounded like 50 years old. So he was so depressed because of all this that he had to go to therapy and do some special therapy during those years. They called it a hypnotism or something like that. And for several years, he couldn't compose. He had to go through all these processes, these psychiatrists. Thanks to that, this Piano Concerto No. 2 came to life. And it became one of the most popular piano concertos ever written and one of the most beautiful piano concertos ever written. Used in movies, in commercials, in as a part of it in songs, in pop songs, and it's a tour de force for pianists because it's not easy at all. I mean, it's very, very intricate, very difficult.
Well, he had extraordinary hands, didn't he?
Big hands. Big hands, you know, that, you know, just to reach certain chords for just a normal size hand will be difficult. So that's what I say in the beginning. A really bad experience from a piece that was not successful, that it was very criticized and not approved by the critics after a period of loneliness and depression, he comes back to the world with a success or a successful piece.
Did people like it instantly?
Instantly, and I would say immediately after the first chords, they're very solemn chords at the very beginning that they come on a very soft dynamic and then they grow up and immediately the just lashing melodies and colorful orchestrations, I mean, it's just beautiful harmonies grab you instantly. And also, you know, after that, his career just, you know, skyrocketed because he continued writing music in some of his orchestral pieces, even though they are considered, you know, old-fashioned, you know, like the symphonic dances or another for piano, the Rhapsody and a theme by Paganini that we actually performed my first season, or even his symphony number 2 or number 3 are absolutely masterpieces. I think in a way, I don't think because of that incident, but Rachmaninoff occasionally is underrated. You know, it's like, oh, well, fabulous pianist, great piano pieces, but that's it. And I think it's a total mistake and it's a misunderstanding.
Do you think it's because we're a little bit snobby? If something is instantly appealing, we think, oh, it can't be good because
It's possible, yeah. But look at, you know, things like Beethoven's symphonies, the Ode to Joy or the first four notes of the number 5 or the Eroica that became so popular instantly. So what, we don't like them anymore because of that? It is true that they have been performed a lot. The thing is, for us as musicians, as artists, what we need to do is make sure that these are performed anew, fresh. And fresh with fresh ideas, respecting the text always, but, you know, making a point, making a statement, like something new, refreshing, like rediscovering Beethoven's 5, rediscovering Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto number 2, instead of saying, well, we're going to play this again, we know it's popular, and no matter what, people will like it. I think that's the easy way to go. And I know that our musicians will take my approach of, you know, something fresh, something new. Let's make the best performance of Beethoven's 5 with the best ideas, with the best spirit that we can. So then we attract the audience immediately and we make an impact on the audience, even with these very well-known pieces.
Well, I think also the wonderful thing about a live performance is there are no two performances that are the same.
Exactly. And that's what people sometimes they don't understand when they have a CD. And who does not have a CD or electronic version of Beethoven's 5? They have it at home and they can listen to it 20 times, 30 times, 50 times, and it's going to be the same because it's a recording. But then when they go to the concert, then the experience will be totally different. Not only that they will have the orchestra live, they cannot rewind, they cannot fast forward, they cannot stop it. Every minute, every second of it is precious and is special because it's happening at that particular moment and it's gone. And then it's the next one and then it's gone and we cannot come back to it. And that's what it makes it so magic, so special, because it's unexpected.
And I think also there's a communication in the room, the way the orchestra is feeling, the way the audience is feeling, and the audience brings something into the room, and the orchestra, you know, when you think of it, we think of an orchestra, but it's individuals, and they're bringing themselves into the room and into the piece. And you yourself, you're bringing yourself into the room and into the piece, and all that makes for a wonderful mix.
Exactly. And you know, another thing that I always love is the silence. People sometimes don't realize that silence is part of music. And so it's not only sounds that will actually create a special moment. And honestly, I think that when there is silence is when I actually get the best impression if the people are into the concert or not. When there is total silence and you don't hear not even the air, you know, just nothing. And that creates, you know, a special, special moment that we all musicians love, because while we are playing and while all the music, all the sounds are big and there at all times, you know, of course it's special. Of course it's inspiring. But when there is silence, wow. And you know, I read a wonderful book by Daniel Barenboim. He talks a lot, he talks an entire chapter about the effects of silence in a performance. You know, what happens during a movement or what's happening between movements or between notes and how important it is to pay attention in order to create that special moment that could be tension, could be release, could be anything you want, but it's very special.
I agree with you. I love that vibration in the air when the last note has died down, but it's still somehow in the air.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Do you have an overall theme for this season?
We call it the new beginnings. You know, I thought it was very clever because, you know, it's like we've reached the top. We reach a very high point in the history of the symphony. 50 years with incredible growth, you know, since conception. We had fabulous music directors, fabulous musicians, fabulous people, supporters in the board, in the community. And we really reached a high point in the history of the symphony. So then the question is, now what? So now what? We start anew. We start fresh. That's why we call it new beginnings. So we are starting over, you know, with the same characters in the story. We are not changing the characters so far, you know, for now. But yes, with new ideas, with new programs and a lot of excitement. I'm just very, very fortunate not only to have been part of this incredible celebration, but also to set the tone for the next 50 years. And whoever my successor will be, and, you know, just hopefully they will get to 100 in a higher point that we are here right now.
New beginnings. So it's almost like turning the page in a much loved book.
Exactly. New chapter. You know, we still have a lot to do, but we have done well. And we look forward. We really look forward for this new adventure.
So the first concert for New Beginnings, what will be part of this first concert?
Beethoven's Five, the Rachmaninoff Second Piano Concerto. And we will start the program with a piece by Franz Liszt, another great pianist. If you heard about Paganini, the virtuoso of the violin, like, you know, Paganini was for the violin, Liszt is for the piano, the virtuoso of the piano. Very flashy pieces. And, you know, I heard from a colleague saying he was the Elvis Presley from the 19th century because he will perform all these concerts. Apparently, he was a handsome guy with very long hair. You know, the ladies after the concert will go after him and he will throw his handkerchief and the ladies will go crazy. Who is going to get, you know, Liszt on handkerchief? So Liszt had many facets in his life, actually. He was like the Elvis Presley. And for a period of his life, he also was a priest. He decided to get, you know, secluded in a church and compose religious music. This piece has nothing to do with religion. It's called The Preludes. And actually was an original piece for choir based on the four elements. So then he liked so much the music that he composed for that he decided to include some of that music in this strictly orchestral, what he calls symphonic poem. And a symphonic poem is an orchestral or instrumental piece that has some programmatic ideas or some text to it. Or in this case, there is a poem, and the poem talks about Lamartine, a French poet, talks about life, spirituality, death, of course, and the beginning of something. So that's why it was perfect to showcase it as the beginning, the first piece in the program for this new beginnings season.
So you've got Liszt and then
Rachmaninoff
and then Beethoven.
It can't get any better, right? Oh, that. It can get any better than that. So three fabulous composers.
But and, tricky, I would imagine, piano pieces. Do you have a soloist coming in?
Yes, that's right. We haven't talked about my dear colleague, José Méndez, Spanish pianist, that I had the pleasure to collaborate with him a couple of years ago in the Music at Penswood's Festival in State College. We did the Mendelssohn Piano Concerto No. 1. And it really, I mean, not only was it a pleasure to collaborate musically, but I thought his ideas were clever, his musicality and his technique, flawless technique. So, and I said, well, one day we need to do together the Rachmaninoff, because I can see that he's that kind of passionate pianist that will do a great job and, you know, has an incredibly busy schedule. He performs all over the world. He runs a festival in Spain, where he's from, for the summer, and we are very lucky to have him at Penn State teaching, bringing fabulous students. So I'm very lucky that he is in town and he will be featured here in Williamsport for the Rachmaninoff. Concert is on October 17th. At 7:30 at the Community Arts Center. I'm looking forward to it. I would say please bring your friends, your significant other, family, kids, because this will be a perfect way to introduce them to music, because all the pieces are accessible, beautiful, and will be an inspiration.
Maestro Gerardo Edelstein, of the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra. The 51st season of the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra begins on Tuesday, October the 17th at 7:30 p.m. at the Community Arts Centre in Williamsport. The music of Beethoven, Rachmaninoff and Liszt, with guest pianist Jose Mendez. For tickets, you can call the Community Arts Centre box office at 570-326-2424 or go to the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra website, williamsportsymphony.org. Thank you very much to Maestro Gerardo Edelstein.
And thanks to you, WVIA's Fiona Powell.